The Lord guides us as a shepherd. He doesn't guide us to wherever looks interesting to us. Rather, He guides us in paths of righteousness that nourish and give us peace. After an overview of the nature of this guidance, we've begun to look at some practical issues in following our shepherd. Today we look at the subject of praying for guidance. We tend to pray for guidance when we feel lost, when we don't know what to do, when we need help. Being able to turn to our Lord for help is one of the most precious benefits of knowing God through Jesus Christ. Yet, as important as that is, and we will look at that in the next class, the practice of praying for guidance when we feel lost needs to be built on top of a substantial foundation of prayer if it's to be meaningful and effective. Consider this amazing promise in 1 John 5. And this is the confidence that we have toward Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, we know that we have the requests that we've asked of Him. This has to do with the requests that we bring before God, many of which explicitly involve His guidance, either telling us what to do or just taking us to a good place. Well, actually, I suppose that any request we make of God has to do with guidance, when you think of it, since we're asking God to take us somewhere, take us out of a problem, or take us to a better situation. The importance of this promise is immediately evident because it involves anything we might ask. This reflects the huge prayer promise made by Jesus that we can ask anything in His name and He'll do it. So it seems like we can have confidence that God will guide us to any outcome we ask for. Except that even as I say that, we realize that's not quite true, is it? We can know that He will answer our requests only if what we ask is in accordance with His will. We can ask Him to take us anywhere that He wants to take us and be confident that He will. In other words, God knows where He wants to take us, but the most important journeys are those we have to desire to take, and the most important gifts are those we must want to receive. So He waits for us to ask before He gives them. So if God only answers prayers that desire to receive what He wants to give, how do we know what He wants to give? How do we know His will? Well, the short answer is Jesus. The person of Jesus, His character, the purpose of Jesus, His work on the cross and resurrection, Great Commission, return. All those things reveal the will of God. And of course, Christ's character and purpose are not only revealed in the Gospels, but also in the entire Old Testament that's fulfilled in Him, and the entire New Testament that explains and explores Him. In other words, intelligent faith in Christ tells us the will of God for us. Prayers based on this can ask anything, and God will answer. And what about requests for God's guidance that are not grounded in His revealed will? Well, John says that God does not hear those prayers. If we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know He hears us, we know that we have what we've asked. What can this mean? Surely God is aware of every thought and every word. This can't mean that God isn't aware of such requests. It must mean that God the Father does not entertain any requests that are inconsistent with His Son's name, and therefore pay no attention to His will. We persist in believing that God's will is a mystery. What does God want me to do in this situation? And there are times when we are confused, perhaps out of ignorance or more likely anxiety that blurs our vision, constricts our memory. And we'll look at what to do then next week. But most of life isn't like that, or doesn't have to be. God has told us what is important to Him. In Christ, in His Word, and we don't think that's enough because we want specific situational outcomes. And that feels very natural to us. But God's guidance is not about specific outcomes. It's about what He wants. It's about His revealed will, His character, and His purposes. The book of Daniel illustrates this so clearly. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego wanted deliverance from the fire. Daniel wanted deliverance from the den of hungry lions. We just assume that. But God's guidance was not about those outcomes, even though, of course, they were delivered. God's guidance was to obey his law. First commandment, no other gods before me. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did what would send them into the furnace, and Daniel did what sent them into a den of lions. They didn't have to ask God for guidance because they already knew the first commandment. They already knew God gave them guidance, so they obeyed it. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said that God could deliver them. They didn't know if he would. But they didn't have to know. They didn't have to know the outcome in order to know God's will. Yes, God famously delivered them, but not by guiding them to their preferred outcome, even though that's what happened. But he guided them to do his will, which was the first commandment. God's guidance is not about outcomes per se, not first. It's about being and acting like Jesus. That's how he guides us. The prayers for guidance in Jesus' name that God hears and answers are always prayers that glorify him. Therefore, they rest upon what God's word, his written word, his living word, Jesus, what God's word has revealed about him. And that's his guidance. For example, let's say I have a major conflict at work. I might lose my job. Oh God, guide me. What should I do? Well, God has already provided me guidance. Glorify me, he has said, by being my light. Work hard as if you work for me. Be meek. Be a peacemaker. Be confident. Don't act like those who are acting out. Act as they should be acting, but aren't. Be blameless. Be honest. Be pure. Honor your superiors. Be gracious. Pray for people giving you a hard time. Bless them. Do good to them. You be Jesus to them. Whether or not they like Jesus, you will glorify me either way. Now, that is God's guidance. So, follow it. Well, yeah, but isn't there some trick or something I can use to keep my job? Well, you don't know God wants you to keep your job. Well, surely he wants me to provide for my family. Well, of course he does. But if keeping your job means that you cannot honor God by imitating Jesus, then you do not need that job for him to provide for you. Full disclosure here, I'm not just blowing smoke. I left two jobs for that reason. One was a summer job, but the other was a senior pastorate when I had no job to go to and a wife and a child to care for. I did it out of principle. God had no trouble taking care of us. Now, we can pray for outcomes. Again, we're going to talk about that next week. But prayers for guidance should focus first on God's revealed will, because most of his guidance has already been given. Well, that sounds fascinating. Is this what the Bible really teaches? Yeah, let's consider some prayers in the Psalms that ask God for guidance. The prayers in the Psalms that use the phrase, lead me. So it's a request or a statement about God leading us. Like this one. Lead me, O Lord, in your righteousness because of my enemies. Make your way straight before me. Lead me in your righteousness. That's not asking for a specific outcome. That's asking to be led along a certain path. Righteousness means living in a right relationship with God, with him as your Lord and living according to his character. That's how the psalmist wants to be led. Or this famous one, and we started with this in this whole series, he leads me beside still waters, he restores my soul, he leads me in paths of righteousness. There are those paths of righteousness again. It's not just a destination, that's important, but God has that covered. It's your wanting to go down the path that's at issue first. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation, and I wait for you. God leads us in living by giving us truth. Today, these days, you know, we're led to believe that truth is unknowable and facts that don't agree with preconceptions are labeled falsehoods. But God's word never leads us astray, never false, always based on truth. And we must train our souls to wait upon Him all day long, meditate on what He's told us, and believe it is true, and always be ready to do it. That's when we can get around to the kind of guidance we're looking for, and focus on the specifics around this. When I start out by focusing on the path, I want to know your truth, and I want you to lead me in that. Teach me your way, O Lord. Lead me on a level path. We see it again here. The best way to follow the Lord as shepherd is the way He teaches us in His Word. Prayers for guidance should first of all be prayers asking to be taught, not how to get what we want, but prayers to be taught. I mean, what we want might be perfectly fine, and God wants to give it to us, but what He wants more than that is for us to be teachable and to follow Him. For you are my rock and my fortress, and for your name's sake, you lead me and guide me. You remember how we began our study, that God guides us for His sake, for His glory. And faith has decided to hitch our expectations of blessing to God's glory, so that as He glorifies Himself, we are blessed. So God's name, that reveals who He is and how we're to live for Him. So for your name's sake, you lead me. It's for God's sake, but I get blessed. Send out your light and your truth. Let them lead me. Let them lead me. It's not even the destination that's being talked about here. Now it's how I'm following. Send out your light and your truth. To ask God to lead us is to ask Him to send His truth to us. His truth rarely tells us exactly what to do to produce a certain effect. His truth tells us exactly what to do to be a light in this world. And when we follow that light, He brings us afresh into His presence, into His dwelling, His holy place, which we have access to in Jesus. From the end of the earth I call to you, and my heart is faint. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I, my refuge, my strong tower. God does not lead us to places of worldly security because they are not all that secure. He leads us to always trust in Him. He's the real rock. He's the refuge. He's the strong tower. When we feel lost, the most important decision we have to make is to get close to Him and stay close to Him, because that is where we're truly safe. Lead me in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it. Now, there's something specific, but once again, it's not an outcome. It's a commandment. To be led in the path of God's commandments, I think, means two things. One, of course, is to obey His commandments first and above anything else. That was illustrated so well in the movie Chariots of Fire about Eric Liddell and how he desperately wanted to compete, and he wanted to support his team, and he wanted to honor the royal family. But he chose to honor God first in the way he handled the Sabbath. And anyone who sees the film knows that he made the right choice. We've got to obey His commandments. But number two, the way we must obey those commandments is out of a sense of delight. For I delight in it. Meaning that we hold God's opinion higher than any other opinion. Higher than our friends, our team, our tribe, any human authority. We feel delight and pride in serving God first. That is how God leads us. See if there be any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. In every experience, there are two ways to choose. The Bible pictures it as a fork in the road sometimes, like Jesus' narrow way off the broad path, or maybe different directions on the same road. That's kind of how I imagine Psalm 1. We're busy calculating which way will bring worldly success, pride, whatever. Which way will get us something we want? Which, of course, again, may be a good thing. But if we aren't praying for guidance like the psalmist, we won't see the real choice in front of us. And that's between the kingdom of this world and the kingdom of God, where God rules. There are times when we can't discern the difference between these ways. And that's why, as we looked at in the previous lesson, we have to practice discernment And the result of practice discerning His will, discerning right and wrong, is the ability to recognize and follow what God says wherever it leads. Often when we feel we lack God's guidance, it's not because we don't know what He wants. It's because we can't see how what God wants will get me to where I want to go. Well, God leads us in the way everlasting, regardless of where that takes us. That's where we got to go. Christians who want to be led by the Spirit of God sometimes go into a trance and lay aside everything they've learned about righteousness and ask God for some spontaneous guidance. But the psalmist says, "Teach me to do your will, for you are my God, and let your good spirit lead me on level ground." When we go into a trance and forget everything that we've learned and just kind of reach out, to hear God, what we're doing is we're asking for God's guidance at the same time that we're rejecting God's guidance that He's already given to us. And is it any wonder that we're so often confused? We'll need to learn to ask for guidance when we're genuinely confused. But that's only going to work if those prayers are layered on top of this prayer. Teach me to do your will. Lord, this is where I'm concerned about over here. But before we get to that, teach me to do your will. That is what I want. Isn't this exactly how Jesus taught us to pray? God's will that His name and His character and His authority be honored by us. God's will, which is the very essence of His kingdom. Seeking God's will and honor and kingdom first is the key to all prayer. To all prayer. All of it. Whether it concerns our provision in life or our relationships or all the decisions we might make. In this prayer, Jesus taught us the essence of prayer, the foundation of prayer, the basis upon which we could ask for His guidance in anything and be confident that God hears and will respond. It's all about trust, establishing the relationship with the good God Almighty that we lost a long time ago with sin. Learning again to treat Him like the good God Almighty. Trusting that His will is more important than mine, more important than anyone's, and at the same time, His will is always best. Not only for God and His glory, but for me and my good. I just want to mention a story before we close here. It's a biblical story. It's one of my favorites in the Old Testament. It's really fascinating. It's in 2 Samuel 7. It's about King David. As King David worshiped God, and King David loved to worship God, he loved God, his heart was after God's own heart, he imagined a great temple that he would build for the Lord. Nothing like it in that part of the world. A temple grand and glorious that would take the design of the tabernacle and make it permanent, make it out of stone, make it beautiful, make it big, make it glorious. But the Lord spoke to David, and the Lord told him that he would not be allowed that honor. That's going to go to his son, that only his son would build the temple. And it's just this play on words and looking down the history, because, of course, David's immediate son, Solomon, would build the stone temple. But it would be another son later down, the ancestry, that would build a temple of people. A great church to the Lord throughout the whole earth. And this is where God said, David, you want to build me a house, but actually, I'm going to build you a house. Wonderful play on words that no matter how much David loved the Lord's love is much, much greater. And God used the word house in a different sense, of course, as a dynasty. So David wants to build a temple. The Lord says, no, I'm going to build you a house, and the one who will be my son will be called the son of David. It'll be one of your offspring. I mean, is there any greater honor than that, that the son of God would be known as the son of David? David responded in prayer, and David's response after all that was to pray the most ambitious prayer he had ever prayed. Perhaps the biggest, most consequential, and ambitious request ever presented to God. It was a humble prayer. It extolled God's goodness. But the request boiled down to this simple request. Do as you have spoken. That was it. That was it. To the man or woman of faith, there is no greater prayer. Nothing greater that one can imagine than what God has already promised to do and wants to do. No greater trust, no greater way to honor God, no larger blessing that could be sought for oneself than God's revealed will. When you want God to lead you, study what he says he wants and ask for that. Because the consequences are better than anything you could make up on your own. Indeed, next time we're going to see where this trust takes us when, for whatever reason, we are simply too confused and too distraught to realize what God's will is. And I can tell you now, what we're going to review changed my life. Until then, God bless.